Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Net Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
Alright, thank you DJ Q for bringing us back from the break. He's the best producer in the business. I am Jay Flemma, and you're listening to Jay's Place on the Golf News Net Radio Network. A couple quick thank yous before we get to the next segment. Thank you to Fish for giving me permission to use their music as the theme song to the show. And also thank you to our sponsor, JV's Best Hot Sauce. And right now, Tony Deere, our European correspondent and guest for the first 2 seconds of the show, is going to get a chance to win a bottle of hot sauce and a t-shirt that's a hottie. And actually, it's not true. You can't win it because you are a contributor to TNN, and it's that whole thing about friends and family of the corporation are not permitted and blah, 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 because it looks like we're playing favoritism if you get the question right. So Tony, you just get to play for fun.
It's never fun, Jay, because I never get it right, but go ahead.
Well, we did give away the hot sauce and the t-shirt. Tom Doak got a question right not too long ago. So let's see what happens with some stupid
internet cat or something.
No, he got Godzilla and Mothra and Rodan. That was pretty funny watching.
Hang on. No, hang on. About 3 or 4 months ago, you asked me some question about Roald Birkdale, who was the last winner, who won the 72 Open at Birkdale and who came second. And I amazed you by saying it was Lee Trevino and Mr. Liu was the runner-up. And you,
You did get Mr. Liu right, but that wasn't the tribute question, unfortunately. It was a good catch, though. It was a nice day. So you did get one right. So here we go. Your category today is cartoons.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay. What famous cartoon dog was adopted at the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm? What famous cartoon dog was adopted at the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm?
Well, I've got to go through my long list of animated cartoon adopted dogs. I've got to tell you, my list is it's not forming. Nothing's forming. It's small. Adopted dog. I don't know, Jay. I don't know.
Missing this one would be like whiffing off the tea, Tony. This is in the running to the easiest question ever asked on the show. Not to make you feel dumb or nothing. One more time, we'll read it, and then you got to give us an answer. What famous cartoon dog was adopted at the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm?
Pluto.
Was what?
Dog?
Who? Did you say Pluto?
Yeah, I don't know if he... Is he a dog?
We were looking for Snoopy.
Oh, Snoopy, yeah. Fair enough.
The scene where Charlie Brown goes in and buys him, I think he paid 50 cents for him, unless I'm very much mistaken. After all, it was 1949, or 1950, so... But it's a beautiful scene, and Snoopy's a little tiny puppy, too. He's nowhere near the size dog that he ultimately became when he was playing on top of his doghouse and hanging out with that stupid bird Woodstock.
Well, I shall go and Google it, and I shall spend the rest of the day watching it and adding to my knowledge. Thanks, Jay.
You're not doing so well with the animals. You missed Grumpy Cat, now you missed Snoopy. I was signing you an hour of internet surfing a day, Tony. hour of mindless internet surfing. I want you to know every Scooby-Doo episode from 1972 forward.
Yeah, I could do a few. I could even sing the theme tune, but... Maybe not today.
Well, anyway, all right, let's get back to our important point of discussion, which was we were going to finish up on Aaron Hills and then talk about Birkdale. I'm a fan of Aaron Hills. I want to give it one more chance, despite the fact that the score... scores were so remarkably low. It picked off a couple of boxes for me. Like, it was pretty easy to get to, and it was pretty easy to move around for once. Okay, we had nothing but trouble trying to walk around places like Marion and Torrey Pines. So it had that going for it. It's not the prettiest place, and there's not a heck of a lot to do. But there were some good sushi restaurants for dinner as well. And we had a lovely writer's dinner on Saturday night, the European writers and I. So, what are your final impressions of Erin Hills?
Right. Well, I'm gonna respond to, you know, so many people on social media saying the course was, one, not pretty, two, too easy, and three, not a proper U.S. Open venue. One, it wasn't pretty. Well, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and looked plenty pretty to me. Two, it was too easy because the Koepka finished on 16 under par, and was it three other players finished on 12 under par? Well, you know, that's just a nonsense because it's a par 72. So he finished on 272, which is a US Open score, if you ask me. Par is totally irrelevant. I couldn't care less whether he was 47 under par or 3 under par. I think I'm sure par, you know, is useful for amateur golf and handicapping and all that sort of stuff, but when it gets to professional golf and, you know, lowest score wins, obviously lowest score wins and everything, but, you know, par is utterly irrelevant and it means nothing and it's totally unnecessary. And I understand, you know, I hear people saying, well, it gives us a reference and it gives us, you know, some perspective on how good they are. Well, I totally disagree. I just think, you know, the old system of under fours, you know, so if you shot 70, you're two under fours, or if you shot 74, you're two over fours.
Yes, that's the European and UK way of doing it. I recall back in the day they used to say under fives.
Yeah, and what's wrong with it? I mean, I think this comparison with par just muddies the waters and it skews everyone's perception in a totally irrelevant and unnecessary way. I think if you made Erin Hills, you wouldn't have to change the holes at all. You wouldn't have to change the yardages. You just turn two of the par fives into par fours. Just, you know, just with the, you know, a move of a pencil, and you're done.
I agree with that 100%.
Well, you make it 8 under instead of 16 under, and, you know, that, why not? I mean, to say that it's too easy because a guy finishes on 16 under par, I think shows a total ignorance of the game, and I just think you're grasping at straws to find a reason not to go back, which I think is ridiculous. If you read Scott Michaud in the Augusta Chronicle this morning, it's a fantastic article. It's very well written, and if you get a writer as good as Scott Michaud, he makes a very compelling argument. But he says that U.S. Open has lost its identity, and, you know, it should go back to Wingfoot and Oakmont and Marion and Oakland Hills, etc. And it should be 25-yard wide fairways, and it should be long rough, and it should be rock hard greens. And I totally understand that. You know, if you're of a certain age and you're an American, I totally understand that. I'm probably, you know, I am of a certain age.
Like Scott Bishop, okay. That just want to see what they saw when they were kids. They don't understand architecture. They don't understand agronomy. They don't know how to read a golf course. They don't understand how an architect's trying to teach you how to play with the lay of the land, you know, and but that would be a throwback to the doldrums era of golf course architecture. It was said over and over again this weekend, we're in the second golden age right now. This is the way of the future. Deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, things evolve, and, you know, why not go the way the USGA has gone the last few years? I totally, you know, I'm all for it.
It's more sustainable, you know, it's more money. There's so much to like about it. Plus, okay, the trees really are even harder on the amateur than they are on the pro. It's bad enough when there's ubiquitous water hazards everywhere that you can't carry, but then if you're getting out of the trees and out of the rough all day as an amateur, do you know that at Wingfoot, when they're not hosting a major championship or a big tournament, that that rough is very playable and those main speeds are very reasonable? 10, maybe 10.5, 11 tops. You don't get any of those crazy numbers, and you don't get anywhere near 5-inch roughs. You can go out and play golf at Wingfoot. That's how they like it.
Yeah. And I'll just make a couple of last points, Jay. Firstly, you know, I'm sure I've said this on your show before. If you have the trifecta, you have the long, thick rough, you have the 22-yard wide fairway, and you have rock hard greens. You're making, you know, you get this boring, thoroughly tedious grind fest, you know, where one under or one over or level par wins, and it's, you know, people say for 1 week a year, you know, it's okay to do that, and that's what the U.S. Open should be. I totally disagree. You know, the U.S. Open, why should the U.S. Open be thoroughly tedious? The second point is, and I think this sums it up, you know, in a nutshell for me. This is the breaker for me. You know, in years gone by. I mean, I watched it because it's the U.S. Open and the history, you know, it's amazing. But I never, ever looked forward to the U.S. Open. I hated watching the U.S. Open through the 90s, you know, the start of the 2000s. You know,
well, it got exceptionally bad during the Tom Meeks era, okay, where it was nothing but it made the least bogeys, not the most birdies. Thank God Mike Davis has made the tournament more exciting that way. These people are paying good green money to see birdies, to see the best players in the world. When you go to the Super Bowl, they don't narrow the goalposts and the lines to make it harder to run, pass, or kick. When you go to the World Series, they don't move the pitcher's mound closer so that the batters have less time to react to the ball. Okay, when you go to the basketball finals or the Final Four, they'll raise the net another foot. Okay, they used to trick up the golf courses, though, and you'd get bizarre winners like Michael Campbell.
Yeah, I agree. It's a shame that was another comment that I saw on social media this week. You know, somebody was saying, you know, Erin Hills was tricked up, and it was a bad course for the U.S. Open because it was tricked up. They had to trick it up to make it what it was. And again, you know, I'm not sure where that person, you know, is coming from. You know, it wasn't tricked up in the slightest. They had to trick up.
Not at all.
You know, they had to trick up the other courses, you know, by growing the rough 3 feet, 4 feet, by narrowing the fairway 10 yards, and by making the greens, you know, as hard as wood, you know, that's tricking up. I'm not sure what he meant by tricking up Erin Hills. Erin Hills wasn't tricked up in the slightest. It was playable, and it would have been much tougher had the wind blown. And courses like that, you know, are so much more interesting and so much more fun to play and so much more fun to watch, you know, with a bit of wind, because the artistry and the, you know, the imagination of players comes to the fore. But it was still, I just really enjoyed watching it. It was so fun.
Yeah, it was a bit of bad luck for Erin Hills that we got rain 4 of the 6 days we were there, maybe even 5. Because it did soften it up, and once there was an inch of rain before the Saturday round, and none of the top 13 players shot anything worse than 68. Anyway, Tony, it's been great having you on the show. We're going to come back to you in a couple of weeks to preview the British Open.
Brilliant. I look forward to it.
Outstanding. Everybody will be back with the second half of the Jays Play Show right after this. I'm going to leave you in the very capable hands of DJQ.
We're at the end of another great Jays Play Show, but thank you all so much for joining in. It's no fun doing this to an empty room, but it sure is fun doing it for all of you guys, so thanks so much. I want to thank Fish for kindly letting me use their great music as the theme song for the show. Thanks, guys. I want to thank CyberGolf and Golf News Network, cybergolf.com/writerscorner. You can read me and all the other fine writers, and thegolfnewsnet.com/radio. Take us home, DJQ.
Tune in next time for another great Jays Play show on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Thanks, guys. Catch y'all next time.